Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Before the break in the last hour, I mentioned this story that was in the Post-Dispatch a couple of days ago. And unfortunately, look, I want to root for the city of St. Louis, and I'm fine with a revitalization and spending money to, you know, make the dome not such a pile and a heap of you-know-what, and getting a development at the AT&T building, albeit without taxpayer money. But the story that was out on Monday talks about, you know, I guess really there's no optimism, I don't think, and we're going to address this with Jeff Rainford in just a little bit here later this hour, on whether or not the population and the region can recover from what's happened. The headline of the story was, "We are in trouble. St. Louis region's slowing population growth spurs a call for action." So this was the topic of a dinner that I had recently with Jeff Rainford, who is former Mayor Slay's chief of staff. And we were talking with someone who is in economic development, and Rex Singfield, who I dine with about 4 times a year, was there. And we were talking about the stagnant population and how it's a problem, because you just simply can't have, you think about young people. Ethan Hannaford, my producer, one of my producers, a young person. Young people have to want to move to St. Louis. They want to have to stay in St. Louis. And they're trying to do something about it. But I'm just going to tell you, it's a big, big hurdle. And when the population keeps going down and down and down, how does the city recover? There's a guy who is described as a veteran public policy executive who's working on this new effort. And we'll kind of talk about the effort at 5:30, saying, "We're in trouble. We don't recognize we're in trouble, but we're in trouble. Look, I recognize that we're in trouble." And this is important not only from a downtown St. Louis situation, but it really is important from a region, from a regional situation. So we're going to share some thoughts on that. Plus, we have audio cut of the day coming up as well. Let's talk a little bit about Iran and everything that's happening there. Jerry Baker from the Wall Street Journal back with us this afternoon. It's been a bit. Jerry, how are you?
Hello, Mark. Thanks very much for having me.
I like the way, in your most recent piece, you kind of broke it down in a way that, people want to put labels on a lot of this stuff, like neocons or restrainers. And your point is, making choices like that is probably not a good idea when things are complicated in this situation and others, right?
Yeah, I think that's right, Mark. I was trying to, sort of dig into this debate that apparently is going on within Republican circles, within MAGA circles in particular, between the so-called restrainers, those who think, with some justification, actually, I should say, that Donald Trump was elected and has been successful in large part by staying out of messy foreign wars, which the United States has unfortunately got itself into in the last 20 years. And I say that's been the key to success. And those who think of a more traditional Republican stance, you can call them maybe neocons. That's a slightly overused term, but those who think, no, the U.S. should be intervening, robustly. It's the most powerful nation on earth, and it should intervene in all kinds of ways. I think it's a false debate. I think it's a false dichotomy between those two. And I think particularly in this case, or let me put it another way, that I think what Trump did in striking the nuclear facility at Fordo in Iran was entirely consistent with his broadly kind of hands-off approach that he's followed both in his first term and in the first 6 months of his second term, because it's not true that Donald Trump has not deployed military action in the past, as we know he did during the first term, most famously and successfully in eliminating that Iranian military leader, Qasem Soleimani, and a couple of other targeted strikes too. So he's demonstrated a willingness to use force, but as long as it's got a very clear objective, as long as it's very targeted, as long as it doesn't involve a kind of long-term, open-ended commitment of the United States to objectives, frankly, like regime change and things like that, that might not be achievable. So I think what he's done is, you know, is consistent with what he's done all along. It's neither neocon nor is it restrainer. I just think in the end it was a thanks, I should say, also to the extraordinary work that the Israeli military's done over the last year and a half in basically, you know, eroding organizations like Hamas and Hezbollah and ultimately Iran's defenses. It was a golden opportunity, really, a tremendous opportunity for the United States to really go in and pursue its own objectives, which is certainly to stop Iran from getting a nuclear bomb. And I think it just, you know, as I said, it was a measured and judicious action by a president who, you know, sometimes when it comes to some policies, doesn't always act in a measured and judicious way. But I think when it comes to foreign policy, I think on the whole, he has.
And by the way, I mean, he kind of made it clear that this would happen, right? It's not like he didn't talk about this, that there wasn't a timetable involved, and that he stuck to that timetable and then acted. So it couldn't have been like, it's not like it came out of nowhere. I mean, this president promises things. Maybe not all the promises are kept, but in this case, he said what he was going to do, and he did it.
Yeah, look, and I do think, look, we've been talking about the Iranian nuclear program literally for 20 years.
Yes.
George W. Bush and even Bill Clinton talked about it, but we've known about that there's been a clear commitment and indeed facilities for a nuclear program in Iran since Bush was president. And Bush talked about, you know, Bush pursued diplomatic efforts to try and get them to back off it. Obama very famously did and signed a deal with the Europeans and others too to try and get them to back off it. That didn't turn out very successfully. Trump, you know, essentially took a kind of a hands-off approach and pulled us out of that deal in his first term. And then Biden once again tried diplomatic measures. And I think Trump, you know, I think the direct approach of just bombing the place and actually, you know, again, we'll have to see what these competing intelligence assessments finally say, but they've clearly done enormous damage to it. And being able to do that, given, as I say, the damage that Israel has already done to Iran's capability to respond, that just seems to me to be, it's a direct, the kind of direct, robust, but very limited. And it's very striking to me, Mark, that, you know, the president now keeps saying, basically, that's it. It's all done,
yeah.
One and done, we're done. The war's over, 12 days, it's all over. That all of that seems to me to be completely consistent with the way President Trump has conducted basically most of his foreign policy over the last 10 years.
I was going to talk about this yesterday, and the last 2 days, time got away from me. But did you see the tweet from Marjorie Taylor Greene on this a couple of days ago?
Which one? Because there've been quite a few.
What she said, and I think these were initial thoughts on bombing Iran, and she said, "I don't know anyone in America who's been the victim of a crime killed by Iran, but I know many people have been victims of crimes, you know, committed by criminal aliens." She goes on to say, "Neocon," you know, she uses these words, "neocon warmongers beat their drums of war and act like Billy Badasses going to war in countries most Americans have never seen and can't find on a map, but never find the courage to go to war against the actual terrorists who actually do kill Americans, invade our land and make billions doing it day after day, year after year." She's talking about, you know, some of the fentanyl that comes in, et cetera. Now, I understand her point in that tweet. She goes on to say, look, I want to fund American interests and issues. She's on the Doge committee. I can agree with a lot of what she says in here. But again, she kind of goes back to sort of, I think, simplifying this in a way that you addressed in your piece, because she's trying to stand out there. And I don't know if we'd tag her as an isolationist, but there are people like, you know, her and maybe Tom Massey and others on the Republican side, maybe not many, that think, you know, this is not the right thing to do at this time. And I think that's simplifying and not looking at the bigger picture. And as you indicated, you know, we've been trying to do this for a long time.
Yeah, I agree. Look, and again, that's another false choice. The idea that we have to choose between going after illegal immigrants in this country and particularly, especially initially, those who commit crimes, going after everybody who commits crimes in this country, which is the first responsibility of any government, is to ensure that there is, you know, law and order. But the idea that we can only do that and we can't look after our own national security interests at the same time,
yeah.
You know, most people are capable of walking and chewing gum at the same time. We can do the two things. And I particularly objected in that ex post by her that she's not concerned that Iranians, you know, are killing Americans, whereas many illegal immigrants and others are doing so. Because actually, of course, many Americans have died at the hands of Iranians in the last 20 years. We lost a large number to Iranian-backed, funded, and sometimes even operated activities against our forces in Iraq, and to some extent also in Afghanistan, and also some of our forces in Syria from time to time been attacked by them. We've lost, you know, Iran's support for Hezbollah and Hamas has been used against Americans in the past. Actually, I mean, by some estimates, thousands of Americans have been killed by the Iranian regime over the last 20 or 30 years. So the idea that that isn't a threat to us, that we need to take seriously, and especially when that enemy of ours, which is sworn to destroy the country and describes us as the great Satan and wants to, you know, basically kill every American if they can on the earth, and that country wants to get a nuclear weapon, it makes total sense to me that we should, you know, as well as going after domestic criminals and people who commit crimes against Americans here in the homeland, that we should go after people with very, very powerful weapons who say they want to wipe our country off the face of the earth.
Jerry Baker is here from The Wall Street Journal. No doubt you've probably seen the reaction this morning from Pete Hegseth and President Trump on the CNN report. And I guess the New York Times got involved in this, saying that sources say that they did not destroy the core components of the nuclear program and likely set it back only by months, which that seems an interesting. I've heard anything from months to, you know, 3 years to 30 years. But thoughts on that, because, you know, this is where this trust of the media comes into play. And that's why President Trump popped off on this earlier today. I played some audio earlier in the show. I might follow up with you here in the aftermath of our interview addressing that again. And I have audio cut of the day. The audience knows I feature that at 5:50. But, you know, they're so quick. I even mentioned this, Jerry, the other day. I had to watch CNN on Saturday night because I just wanted to see how they would cover it. And it was awkward. They didn't know how to cover it. But man, when they get a source that they think says that something's not successful for the U.S. military or President Trump, they jump on that pretty quickly, don't they?
Yeah, it was a little, exactly as you say, it was a little grating. And by the way, who else did repeated the same story? That was the New York Times, of course, yesterday, who reported the same, you know, unidentified anonymous sources at the Defense Intelligence Agency, the DIA, quoting these. Look, it's no accident that people have no trust in many of these media institutions. These are the same media institutions that told us that Donald Trump was a Russian agent, and that, you know, the U.S. government had been taken over essentially by a foreign power, something that we learned, of course, very quickly was absolutely untrue and completely bogus. So, you know, I completely understand the skepticism that people have about this. Early estimate. Look, it's going to take time. Everybody knows, I'm not an expert in these things, but you know, when you drop bombs,
it's going to take a while to assess
on a target thousands of miles away, especially on a target that is buried hundreds of meters underground. You know, we don't have fantastic on the ground intelligence there. We have some, and I think Israel does too. It's going to take some time to get an assessment of it. So I think, but you know, my particular problem with the way that was reported yesterday was, you know, I think they put the most sort of negative possible gloss on the report. I went in and read more of the report in detail, or read more of the reporting of the report as it were in detail, and the report was highly, highly tentative and conditional. It said low confidence that we have in knowing this. It gave a range of possible outcomes, and Trump mentioned this at his press conference this morning too. You know, that there was, you know, the lowest outcome, the worst, if you like, possible outcome was we've only set this back a few months, but there could be other outcomes where it could be worse than that. So it was very striking that the media, so many of the CNN and the New York Times in particular, were so keen to go to the very, very, the most unhelpful, the most damaging part of this report, while actually ignoring the fact that the report itself was extremely uncertain, extremely conditional in terms of its own assessment.
That is, look, it's not an illegitimate question. And the only hesitation I've had in, you know, basically saying this is complete obliteration is because I think there are some questions about whether or not they moved some of the uranium and, you know, whether there were ways to, you know, to hide some of this and then recreate this program rather quickly. But on the other hand, to your point, there's still a lot that we don't know. And the instinct on my part has been, you know, certainly in the last 7 or 8 years since 2016, is that these things usually come from people who are not fans of Trump and they're trying to do damage. So we'll have to see what the assessments say. Now, along those lines, Jerry Baker, I've been reading your comms. You're not a fan of everything that this president does, right? That's fair to say, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. I mean, we talked about it before, Mark. I think, you know, again, you know my views. I completely understand why people voted for Trump. American leadership has largely failed them over the last 20 years. We've had this woke, progressive, cultural, left-wing, ideological takeover of most of our institutions in the last 20 years, from everything from academia to the media to large parts of big business to the federal government. They want change, and Donald Trump represents that change. And I think, you know, and I was optimistic and remain optimistic that he can make many of those important changes. I also think that globalization, which is the kind of doctrine that has dominated so many of our leadership and institutions over the last 20 years or so, has also failed American people. And Donald Trump represents a, you know, again, the most cogent and the most plausible alternative to globalization of any leader we've seen. But, you know, and so I say all of that in his defense and all of that and, you know, appreciating some of the good things that he's done. But, you know, I think some of the ways in which he goes about these things are not necessarily very productive. The most obvious, which I feel, and we've spoken about before, and doubtless will again, and I will write about again. I don't think that the chaotic and unpredictable way in which he's going about either sanctions, tariffs, or relations with our allies is very helpful. I think it's extremely damaging. America's, you know, America's the most powerful country on earth. We don't need the rationale behind the tariffs is frankly madness. I think there's plenty to be said for, you know, making other countries play by the rules when it comes to trade, but imposing these across-the-board tariffs was madness, damaging to the United States and damaging to our ability to get what we want done in the world. And I think the way he's treated our allies, whether it be Canada, whether it be, you know, many of the NATO allies, has also been very unhelpful. So, look, you take the rough with the smooth with Donald Trump.
I agree.
And I'm going to, you know, call, and or to mix metaphors, you call balls and strikes.
Right.
And, you know, that's I think my job as a journalist, rather than to be a kind of a cheerleader.
I believe you. I agree with you because I've had hesitation. I've expressed hesitation on the tariffs in particular. And then you mentioned Canada. There's things that have happened even with that ally. That
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
I'm Emma Grade, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That have been very confusing to me, given the support that we have, you know, certainly from some of these other nations. So I'm with you on that. Hey, before I let you go, you want to say anything about maybe the next communist mayor of New York City?
Don't make up my mind. People can't seem to make up their mind whether we're going to face. I'm in New York City. Whether we're going to face Marxism or Sharia law under the next the likely next mayor. Look, I mean, I think that Andrew Cuomo was a terrible candidate. Andrew Cuomo was governor of New York during COVID, and his decisions resulted in needless deaths. He resigned. He was then later forced to resign in scandal. And the idea that he was the sort of shoe-in, as the pundit class seemed to think he was, and the Democratic leadership seemed to think he was, for the Democratic nomination for mayor was always madness. And I think large numbers of people voted yesterday or in the last week or whenever they voted for this guy Mandani because they didn't want Andrew Cuomo. Now, unfortunately, yeah, they may find themselves stuck with a far left, anti-Zionist, pro-Palestinian mayor. But I think we'll see. We've got another 4 months till the general election itself. Normally, the Democratic candidate, you know, is the strong favorite for that election. But there could be, you know, there could be a surprise this time. What's happened? I'll just finish with this, Mark, is that, because I know you've not got much time. Is that, again, Andrew Cuomo was not popular. This guy Mandani came from nowhere and was seen as very quickly as the main alternative to Cuomo, and so a lot of people voted for him. But Mandani's received very little scrutiny. Mandani's received more scrutiny in the last 12 hours than he received in the previous 6 months. And so over the next 4 months, as we come to the general election, he's going to get a lot more scrutiny. And his views on Israel and his views on, eliminating prisons and eliminating the police and establishing city-run grocery stores, God help us, you know, like the city-run DMV and all this kind of stuff. His ideas are going to get a lot more scrutiny. And I wonder, frankly, whether they're, you know, even in a far-left, crazy Democratic city like the one I live in, whether they're really going to stand up to that kind of
stuff. Well, you would hope so, because that they wouldn't stand up, but you would hope that there's going to be some, you know, more of a microscope put. Look, from the middle of the country, we weren't following this very closely, and I, to your point, just kind of discovered a lot of the interesting details about this guy, Mandani. But good luck with that. I mean, Andrew Cuomo's still talking about maybe running as an independent, so he's kind of out there thinking these false hopes that maybe in the shoes of Anthony Weiner, we can say. Remember Anthony Weiner, his name comes to mind in this moment.
Him.
Yeah, exactly.
Who could forget? Yeah, great. New York produces all these fantastic politicians, doesn't it?
Jerry, awesome to have you on again. I hope all is well and you're having a great summer.
Thanks.
All right,
you
take
too.
Care.
Thanks,
we'll
take
see you.
Bye-bye.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.